Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m. I'm a go on. I'm a ride tonight.
It don't matter what we face. I'm a go on. I'm excited for this next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk about golf. In particular, the career of Tiger Woods. One of the most interesting careers, I believe, in sports history. Really, when you go back and you take a look at what Tiger accomplished at such a young age, he was at the top of his game, invincible, pretty much lost it all around 2009-2010, fights his way back, does the impossible by winning the 2019 Masters, and really, I don't believe even the most well-thought Hollywood writers could think of a movie script like the career of Tiger Woods. It's absolutely fascinating, and we're going to talk about it right now with Kurt Sampson. He's a well-known author and has penned several highly successful golf books, including his latest. It's called Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. Kurt Sampson joining us right now over the phone. And Kurt, it is a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you for making time.
Oh, I'm very happy to do it, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no doubt. It's definitely my pleasure. And Kurt, I know when following some of your other work, I mean, it's not just Tiger Woods roaring back that you have underneath your stable. In fact, you've written a lot of books regarding the sport of golf and also George Karl for those NBA fans.
Yeah, I've written a couple of NBA books in addition to my my golf stuff. Those are my two beats, so to speak, and it's been a happily misspent adulthood.
Well, as far as your writings regarding the game of golf, they're absolutely fascinating, and I think this one may be the most fascinating of all, because just in the title, it's the fall and rise of Tiger Woods, not the rise and fall of Tiger Woods, which is, in my mind, the ultimate redemption story, and it's really unlike anything we have ever seen in sports history, Kurt.
I agree with that. You and I can both come up with a number of names of sports heroes who've come back from illness or injury or a batting slump or something. But Tiger, what he came back from, it wasn't just the scandal, or the PED accusations, or the DUI. It's that he became a laughingstock. His reputation went from the very summit of our esteem to the absolute bottom. He was a punchline on late night TV, as you recall, 10 years ago. It's an amazing redemption story, really.
There's no question about it. And you mentioned some of the other athletes. I mean, just off at the top of my head, look, I could throw Mike Tyson out there. We could throw Kobe Bryant out there. But the bottom line is, in this day and age, especially in 2009, 2017, when everything was happening with Tiger Woods, social media is at its heyday around that particular time. And that's also something that has to be accounted for.
I agree. It's just the mind boggles at Tiger's journey. We haven't seen the like. I'm just so impressed, really, with a couple of aspects of his personality. Yes, he's had challenges as a human being. Yes, he was a coddled, entitled young man, but he never lost this self-image of himself as a golf champion. He won't until his back and age absolutely tell him he's not. But it's really moving the needle. It's got people very excited that Tiger is contending and even winning major championships again.
Let's start with the beginning of the book, again, Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. I love the beginning of it because it starts with basically a brief conversation with his father, and we're talking about Tiger Woods as a 17-year-old kid. That's where this book starts, to give the listener some perspective on what's in store during the course of the story.
Yes, thanks for noticing. My first meeting with Earl was my first look at Tiger, who was this skinny kid in a giant golf shirt playing in a tour event in Dallas. And Earl was very nice to me. I walked around with him for half a dozen holes while he instructed me on how to bring up my own kid to be Tiger Woods. I had one in the cradle back then. I was impressed by Earl's calmness and his absolute certainty that he knew what to do to build a champion because, well, he was doing it.
There's no question. There's no question about it. So, Kurt, I'm going to ask you, if you go back to where this story begins and you're walking around with Earl and you're talking about Tiger again, this is a 17-year-old kid at this particular time, was there the sense around the course that this kid was going to be so widely unique that he would be one of the most sought-after athletes in the world in short time? I mean, was that something that was even circulating around that time?
I don't think so, but it was on its way. It became an inescapable thought not too much later as Tiger won his mind-blowing sixth consecutive USGA championship. That was three juniors and three U.S. amateurs. Turned pro at 19 or barely 20.
Right.
By that time, that is about 2 years after I first saw him, there was no question that Tiger was the next big thing. The fierceness of his concentration and the absolute slash he took at a golf ball. And he had some real charisma, even as a very young man. Reminded me of Greg Norman or Seve, the kind of once-in-a-lifetime competitor that really drew the eye.
Again, our guest right now is Kurt Sampson. He is the author of the book Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. I know at some point in time of the book, Kurt, you actually make a comparison to Arnold Palmer. And we can jump ahead in this sense where Arnold had command of a room. And I think you put in the book that Arnold was always kind enough, you know, if he was eating dinner, people could interrupt his dinner. He'd share a handshake. He'd take a picture. He'd sign an autograph. But Tiger didn't necessarily have that mentality. And if we're going back to that time frame when Tiger, it looked like he was invincible, the folks didn't really seem to mind, at least in the grand scheme of things of the mainstream media.
I guess that's true. It wasn't the kind of thing for us to write that Tiger was an uncooperative superstar. You rightly point out Arnold, who had equal charisma, but he enjoyed the process. The autograph, the interrupted dinner, as you say, no big deal to Arnie. That was bedrock to the way he was brought up. Certainly was not for Tiger. Suffering fools was really not in his makeup then, and I doubt that it is now, even though he's mellowed quite a bit. Tiger, after all, is an introvert. This is a guy who's, despite that somewhat withdrawn personality, has had to deal with the brightest spotlight for so long. I think at times it's been almost torture for him. Coincidence, the name of his yacht, one of the world's biggest, greatest yachts. Do you remember, Jordan, the name of the yacht?
I do not. I do not.
Privacy.
Okay.
That's which is all Tiger has craved. And then I find it also intriguing that his sport of choice, virtually the only other thing he does besides hit a golf ball, is diving. He just loved the enveloping solitude of being underwater with a tank of air and goggles and, looking at fish. I shouldn't call them goggles. That's a mask, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
The point remains, he's under there with the fish and he's away from us.
Kurt, this may be a very difficult question, but for someone who's been around the game of golf and has studied the game of golf the way you have, how does someone like Tiger Woods have the mental focus and capacity yet they hate the spotlight to that extent. To me, it almost seems, you talk about Arnold Palmer, I mean, he loves this. So what is it that has made Tiger Woods be able to adapt to the fact that he is always under scrutiny? The spotlight is always on him, but he still can perform at such a high level.
I guess it speaks to the strength of his self-belief, the cocoon-like concentration he's able to summon. I think possibly it has even stopped being a burden on the golf course, that he just found the mental keys to turn to allow this concentration that makes the world go away. It's, you know, we golfers are always talking about how the game's 50% mental or 70% or whatever. That's Tiger's real strength. Besides making long putts and hitting the ball far and straight, he's just got a bulletproof mental approach. It's very impressive.
So Tiger turns pro in 96. Immediately, he signs the most lucrative deals that we've ever seen with Nike and Titleist, at least in that time. He also becomes the first athlete to earn $1 billion. He's the most marketable athlete in the world. So when 2009 rolls around and there's this immediate down spiral, and it's almost, I mean, you can't miss TV. You can't turn it off because it's unbelievable that this could happen with Tiger. Go back to that, not only that time in the book, but also that time with you being around the game of golf. What was that like for someone such as yourself?
By then, I'd already written my first Tiger Woods book. It was called Chasing Tiger, which was a fair description of what the other players and those of us in the media were doing with our with our days. I've written 18 books, and that was my least satisfying experience, really. I'd been promised access, and then that promise turned out to not hold. I got no access. It was so frustrating to be enacting the premise of the book, or I was just chasing him around from here to there. I saw some incredible golf, but I didn't get a handle on the guy really very, very much. I don't know how much I improved my insight by watching him play so well. I already knew he was a sensational player, but I wanted to ask him about the role of Buddhism in his life and what it was like at home and so forth. And I just was not granted a intimate enough interview situation in which I could do that. I was always among the scrum of writers by an 18th green, shouting, "What did you hit to 14? And what did you think of the greens today? And what do you have to shoot tomorrow?" Those cliche, stupid questions that provide nothing except the play by play. Where I was going for something deeper, and I just couldn't get it.
Kurt, I know you've mentioned the year 2009. There's so much more I would love to get into. However, we have to break for a quick moment. Do you have time for one more segment?
I absolutely do, and thank you.
That's fantastic. More coming up with Kurt Sampson, author of the new book, Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. We'll continue to talk about one of the most interesting professional careers when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.